Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been talking about in our series on worship, God's a very personal God, something that we can get to know very intimately. Get very close to. Jesus made the way by which we can get very, very close to God. And so we want that. We want to take it full advantage of that. And, you know, as Christians, you should be growing closer and closer and closer to God. You know, that is growing up spiritually. It's growing closer to God. Growing in your relationship with Him. It's getting more and more intimate. And therefore, there's more and more worship coming out of our life. We're pouring more of ourselves out to Him, giving more of ourselves to Him, yielding ourselves more fully to Him. And it's because we love Him, not just because we have to do it. It's not just some kind of legalistic thing. It's because of love. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. So, you know, we know God desires worship from us. And then secondly, He desires us to be yielded vessels to Him that He can flow through and bring others to Him. You know, He's not just satisfied with one or two folks. God wants as many as will be saved to be saved. He doesn't want people going off into eternity, into hell. Hell was never meant for mankind. It was meant for the devil and his fallen angels. That's what hell was meant for, but mankind has joined in on the rebellion of Satan and has turned away from God and has fallen into darkness, and how now many have gone to hell and they'll never get out. And that's not God's heart. God wants to rescue humanity. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You can personalize that and say God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. But it isn't just you. It says the world. He cares about you and the person next to you and the empty chair next to you and the empty chair back there. He's looking for those are chairs that people should be sitting in. People should be sitting there getting fed tonight. I should see smiling faces in every one of those. I should be hearing amens coming out of those what are empty chairs right now. And that's what God's wanting. He desires that. He wants His house filled with people that are loving Him and worshiping Him, because He created them for that purpose, to love them, to pour Himself into them, and to have that kind of intimate relationship with Him. So these are the two things that are very, very close to God's heart. They're probably two of the most important things to God. Two of the most important things to God: worship and witnessing, being witnesses, sharing the gospel with others. And yet, those are probably the two most unimportant messages to most of the church world, or many, many, many Christians. Many Christians don't find that to be a subject that they get very excited about. Worship and being witnesses, sharing the gospel with the lost. Many, many Christians don't get very excited about that. Some do, but a lot don't. And so, but these are the two things that are most important to God. So the things that are the most important to God should be not the least most important things to us. The two most important things to God should not be the two least most important things to you and I. If it's the most important thing to God, it needs to be the most important thing to us. So we need to desire, stir ourselves up. And say, no, I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. But again, worship and sharing the gospel with others is all about giving. It's unselfish. It's just all about helping somebody. It's all about giving to God and giving the gospel to other people. And so a lot of times people are looking for more of what can you do for me? What have you done for me lately? Kind of messages. But we have to get stirred up about this. There are a lot of things God wants to know. That He wants us to receive from Him, that things He wants to do for us, things He wants to get to us. He wants us to be in the giving mode. He wants to be able to bless our lives, and we've got to be open to that. And I'm not belittling that at all, but at the same time, we do have to think about what is most important to Him, and it's these two things right here: worship and evangelism, sharing the gospel with other people. Now, just today, I was getting a bid on some concrete work, and the gentleman that came over, you know, he seemed like a Christian to me. I mean, he said things that were very Christian-y, talked about seeds of doubt as he was talking about this concrete and so forth, and I thought, oh, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. Matter of fact, he even reminded me of a pastor friend of mine, and I thought, boy, he sounds just like so-and-so. And so I said that to him. I said, you know, you remind me of a pastor friend. I thought, that's going to open it up. He's going to go, well, you know, I'm going to find out he's a Christian. Well, he didn't respond to it. He said, oh, yeah, I meet a lot of people. He went on about a lot of people and things like that. It didn't really do anything. So, but, you know, he proceeded to tell me about, he went into talking about how honest he is, and the company that he works for, that there's no people that use drugs in the company. And in fact, my boss, he probably thinks I'm too honest sometimes, but I'm just an honest person. That's just who I am, and da-da-da-da-da. He was a very nice guy. And so as we were getting ready to leave, the thought came to me, this guy is a Christian. Just leave him alone. He's saved. You don't have to worry about him. You know, that's the devil talking to you. And that was really coming pretty strong on me, like, just leave this guy alone. I mean, you can see the guy saved. You don't have to share the gospel with him. You know, he's good. He's good. But we got out on the porch, and I can't remember my opening comment to him, but I said to him, so do you go to a church? And how is your relationship with God? It turns out he's a Catholic. He married a Baptist. And bottom line is nature. You know, he communicates with God through nature. He doesn't go to church. Nature. Churches are very noisy. But nature is where he can really communicate with God. Now, I was totally surprised. He was completely unsaved. He didn't know anything about being saved. So I talked to him about the Ten Commandments. I went through that with him. I said, you know, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? He said, yes. I said, well, have you ever lied? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, what do you call somebody that lies? He said, a liar. I said, well, have you ever stolen anything? He goes, well, maybe when I was a kid. I said, well, what do you call somebody that steals? He said, a stealer? I said, no, that'd be a football team. I didn't say that. But I said, no, a thief. He said, oh, yeah, a thief. So I said, have you ever used God's name in vain? He said, well, yeah, probably. I said, well, that's blasphemy. I said, now we just covered three of the Ten Commandments. And you just admitted you're a liar, a thief, and a blasphemer. Now, you were just telling me how honest and wonderful you were before. I said, but here you are. I said, isn't that amazing? And we were smiling, you know, no condemnation. You know, we're smiling about it. And I said, you know, isn't that amazing? I said, now, you know, here you went from being this real honest guy to this liar, and a thief, and a blasphemer. I was really trying to make that point to him. And so I said, so, you know, I mean, if God was to judge you based on the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? He said, I guess I'd be guilty. I said, well, if you're guilty, would you go to heaven or hell? He said, well, I guess I'd go to hell. I said, does that concern you? I mean, that you would go to hell? He said, well, I guess I'd just hope for forgiveness. I said, well, you don't want to wait. I mean, if there's something you could do about it now, I mean, to die and stand before God and hope that you can escape hell then, you know, it might be too late. I said, and you know, we're talking about all eternity and hell. I said, so that must be concerning to you. He said, yes. And so I proceeded to, you know, share with him about being saved and so forth. And he just looked at me and he said, boy, that's real eye-opening. That's real eye-opening. And meanwhile, you know, he'd been to the Baptist church and they talked about being saved, but he didn't understand what any of that meant. It's amazing. Here's a guy, a real nice guy. And it seemed like, you know, you would just assume he was saved, and the devil was trying to convince me he was saved, and he was completely lost. So he was processing it. I didn't feel led to grab him by the hands and say, let's pray and make Jesus the Lord of your life. It was eye-opening to him. You could see he was kind of processing it, you know, and I could tell he just wasn't quite ready to pray. He probably would have prayed with me. He was a nice guy, but I could tell he was still processing it, and he just needed to go and think upon the things that we just talked about. Praise God. But I mean, there's a guy right there. Like I said, you just wouldn't necessarily bring anything up to him. You just think, well, he's okay, but it was an opportunity. I got to thinking, that's a great way to get people saved. If you want an audience with somebody, just call some folks up for a bid. You know, they come to you, right? They'll sit down with you. I thought, this is a great idea. We can just go through the phone book. I can just set up bids with people and say, come on out, he needs to give me a bid on this. Come on out. And then go, that's great, thank you very much, and then talk to them about Jesus. Because they've put you on their calendar. They're going to spend time with you. Just an idea. I think it's a pretty good idea, actually. Why not? They come to you. It's beautiful. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some people want to get people saved. Get people born again. Now, of course, there's a lot of folks out there that have wrong motives when it comes to evangelism, getting people saved. And the Bible has a lot to say about it, and it is something that we need to be educated on. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Word of God. And I remember there was a time where I was just really puzzled, like when I was over in the book of Ephesians, and it talked about those who lie in wait to deceive. And I remember just reading that one day, and I just stopped. They lie in wait to deceive. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that there are actually people that this is what they do. You know, because that's just so foreign to me. I'm not looking to deceive people. I'm not looking to be a deceptive person. And so, you know, you just wouldn't expect that from people, that they're literally, this is what they do. They get up in the morning. They plot. They plan on how they can snare people, how they can take people captive, how they can deceive people. And there's lots of people like that in the world. And so, you know, I just remember it was a tilt to me, but I yet, you know, if it's in the Word, it's important. I need to get a hold of this. I need to understand that, and I need to be wise to it. I need to recognize there are people that might look like me, they might think like me, they might look like they think like me, they might talk like me, they might share the same things I share, do the kind of work that I do, and yet they are not like me at all. They are imposters. They are fake. They are liars. They are deceivers. And so there are a lot of folks that when it comes to preaching the gospel, sharing the good news with people, they're not doing it because they really want to see people's lives blessed and they want to do it for the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people that want to do it for themselves. They want to use the power of the gospel to turn people to themselves. Because the gospel has power, and it will turn people. And so they'll use the power of the gospel to turn people more to them than to God. And you see that, for example, in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, Paul warning the church at Galatia by the Holy Spirit, written for us today to be aware of. Because, you know, the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be a lot of false teachers. A lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of fake and phony things going on in the body of Christ. And so we are living in the last of the last days. And so there is an abundance of liars and deceivers that are walking around preaching our gospel. The gospel that we love and we believe. And so we need to understand that. We need to be aware of that. Not walk around paranoid, but we do need to, like I said, be wise concerning the wicked that are dressed in sheep's clothing. So Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 17, he says, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. They zealously, they're aggressive at coming after you to share the gospel with you. Now, again, he's talking to the church at Galatia. So he's actually talking to folks that have already been born again, have already come to Jesus. And here the whole church is being infected by these false brethren that have come in. And he says, they are zealous. They're zealously courting you that they may exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. Zealous for them. I remember this is a long time ago, 20-something years ago. There was a lady that had come, and she claimed to be like a prophetess. She liked to have Bible studies in her home and things like that. And I remember I went to a special meeting. I knew there were things wrong with her. You could tell she was always trying to get people to come to her Bible study and kind of exclude, trying to get believers to come to her. She wanted them to be zealous for her, just like you see here. And I remember in one of the meetings, the power of God that I was in, I was asked to minister at a church downtown, and I was preaching the gospel. The power of God was so strong. I laid hands on some people, and there was this little child that just fell out under the power of God, was completely under the power of God, shaking under the power of God. And this woman comes over, puts her hands on her head. But I could see, you know, something was wrong. Then after the service, she was again trying to go around, trying to lay hands on people, and she was like trying to get in there and trying to turn everything to her. You know, that's like witchcraft. I remember one time we were in a meeting up in Illinois, and it was a Holy Ghost meeting. Spirit of God was moving, and Gene went out under the power of God. They were laying hands on people, and I was ministered to. I went back to my chair, and I looked over, and this woman, all dressed in black, came swooping down over her and laid her hands on her and started saying things to her. And now here she is. She's wide open, right? She's just receiving from the Holy Spirit. She just thinks, you know, everything's God, right? And here's this woman where her eyes are closed that, you know, she's probably thinking it's one of the ministers or something ministering to her. And this woman, I don't know what she's doing. And I went running over there, and I just said, excuse me. And she looked at me. She jumped up, and she almost ran away. So there's all kinds of strange people out there. And, you know, I don't know what she was doing. Was she just being led by a wrong spirit to try to impart something to somebody that was open? I'm not really sure. I just know it was wrong. And there's a lot of people out there that try again to use the things of God for self-seeking reasons, to try to gather people to themselves. Over in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 4, he says, and this occurred because false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So they came into the church to spy things out, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Very important what he said there. We didn't yield submission for an hour. We didn't give any place to these people. And you got to understand, if there was a lot of this going on back then, there's a lot more going on today. A lot of false things going on. You know, when I pick up a phone book, which I haven't picked up in a long time because who goes to the phone book anymore? But, you know, you go and look up for a church in a phone book, and it's like, have fun trying to find the church God has for you. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. There is everything under the sun, just pages and pages. All kinds of churches that are out there. All kinds of, you know, you got to look and say, I don't know, is that God? You know, if there's that many different denominations, that many different churches, that many different beliefs about the Bible out there? Or are there a lot of self-seeking people out there trying to draw people to themselves? We're all about exalting Jesus. We're all about exalting him, worshiping him, drawing near to him, loving him. But there's a lot of folks, they'll talk about him, but emphasize themselves and try to draw people away to themselves, which really is witchcraft. It's really witchcraft. And witchcraft, according to Galatians chapter 5, is a work of the flesh. If you go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and look over here, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry. Now notice this, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now I'm reading from the New King James, the Old King James, the regular King James Bibles. For sorcery says witchcraft. So notice, witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Well, what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is the exercise of supernatural powers to control people. Well, God's word is supernatural. God's word is powerful. A heathen, a person that's not even saved, can preach this gospel or declare this gospel, and this gospel is power. It's the power of God, and it'll cause people to get saved, even though the person ministering it isn't even sincere. And so there's people that take this power. This is power right here. They take this power and they use it to manipulate people and to turn people towards it. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. And it's more common. Witchcraft is more common than we realize because it's right here in Galatians 5 as a work of the flesh. I mean, he puts it in there with stuff that is pretty familiar, you know, sexual immorality. That's everywhere. That's pretty common, don't you think? Uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Hatred's pretty rampant, don't you think? Have you ever hated anybody? Contentions, being contentious. Jealous, jealousy. Have you ever dealt with jealousy? Outbursts of wrath. Now, I know none of you have ever dealt with that. No, but these things are pretty common, aren't they? Outbursts, selfish ambitions. See, they're all very common. And right in the middle of all these very common things that are going on all the time, he says something that we think isn't so common. This is something that people with big pointed hats do. Somewhere around a big pot of boiling brew. Right? That's what we think. We think of witchcraft. We think it's this little small percentage of people over here doing some really weird demonic things. But no, it's right here in the middle of some very common things. It's letting us know witchcraft is a pretty common thing. And what is that again? Again, trying to control other people's lives. Exercising supernatural power to control other people's lives. And there's folks using the power of God, the power of the word, to control people's lives. It's a pretty common, a very, very common thing. And again, what can protect people from this kind of witchcraft? Worship. Worshiping God. Worshiping God's going to keep our motives pure. It's going to keep our hearts pure. So we always want to, again, put worship ahead of witnessing, sharing the gospel with others, ministering to others. It's very important to reach out and help other people, but God first. When people come first, this is what we talked about last time. When people become first, when getting people saved come first, sounds great. Sounds so religious and noble. You want to get people saved. Get the lost saved at any cost. Reach the lost at any cost. But first, before that, it's worship. Worshiping him, worshiping him. And out of the overflow of your love and surrender to God, we minister the gospel to others. So witnessing can be like witchcraft to those who aren't worshipers. We want to be worshipers first. We don't want to get it out of order. God first. That's going to keep us getting purified all the time. That's going to keep us right all the time. People get off, they already know they got off. They fall in love with their ministry. They fall in love with people. They fall in love with people loving them. And people get all connected to people for all the wrong reasons. And a lot of them don't even realize it. They don't even realize it, that they're yielding to the devil, that they're involved in witchcraft. There's a lot of witches don't even know they're witches. They think they're very, very zealous for God. But they're witches because they've got this thing out of order. It's worship first. It's God first. It's loving him first with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and then overflowing and reaching others. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. It keeps our motives pure. It keeps our motives correct. Remember he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, talks about in the last days. He said there'll be those that have a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins. They have condemnation. They're in condemnation. They feel a lot of guilt. And there's folks that they come to your house. They want to share the gospel with you. They want to share their faith with you. They want to share the good news with you. But many of them are those who creep into households. They're just a bunch of creeps. But they look nice. They dress nice. They talk so sweet. But they're creeps. If somebody that creeps into your house is obviously a creep. Who creeps into households and make captives of gullible women. Captives. They're looking to make captives. Their idea of a convert is a captive. There's a lot of this. A lot of this out there. Led away by various lusts. That's a big one right there. Led away by various lusts. See, they lure through the lust of the flesh. It says that over in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 verse 17. It says, these are wells without water. Remember we talk about the wells of salvation? We are wells of salvation. These are wells without water. There's no water in them. There's no real true salvation in them. They're deceptive. If you go to a well, you'd expect to have water, right? These are wells without water. Clouds carried by a tempest, by demonic spirits, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's where they're going. They're very zealous for their religion. They're very zealous about getting people saved, and yet they themselves are headed towards blackness and darkness forever. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Now, this is an important thing to realize, too, that when we do lead people to the Lord, we really want to have some kind of follow-up. We want to follow up with them. Because if somebody gets legitimately born again and has a no-so experience with God, they're like a newborn baby. And so now they've got this desire to know God. Their eyes are open and they're ready to learn. They're ready to grow. Well, guess what? There are those that just love. They just love those kind of people. To be able to swoop in and just snatch up these babies that are hungry for God and to begin to teach them their way of worship, which is really man worship, and being a part of their little cult or their sect. So it's important that we follow up. That's why Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and make converts. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. We're to be making disciples of people, which means helping them to come up in the things of God. So we want to minister the gospel to them, and then we want to help bring them on in to the house of God. And maybe it's not here. Maybe there is another church you can connect them to. Maybe you're out of state. You meet these people. But however, we want to be looking for a way to be able to continue our connection with them and follow up on them and be able to help them so that they can get some roots down on the inside of them, some spiritual roots, so they become stable and secure. Otherwise, they're vulnerable to these kind of people that are coming in trying to take them captive. People that come in and try to take people captive. So we don't want them to be taken off into we get them born again and then they're taken off into captivity. Because they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable because they've had an experience with God. How many remember when you got saved? I mean, you like a newborn baby. You're hungry. You're innocent. You almost believe anything. I mean, I remember after I got saved, I just shared this the other night. I remember after I got saved, there was a Bible teacher on the radio. And immediately after I got saved, I started going and listening to a Catholic station because I was raised Catholic. So I got saved, and I'm like, I'm hungry for God. And so I thought, you know, the Catholic Church, that's what I was raised in. So I turn on the TV, and there was a nun and a priest. They had this daily broadcast, you know. So I was sitting there listening to the nun and the priest, man. It was, you know, I went from MTV to the nun and the priest. I thought, this is, usually I'd be watching MTV, but now I'm watching the nun and the priest. You know, getting my breakfast ready, listening to, hanging on every word of the nun and the priest. And I remember the lady that led me to the Lord, you know, I was telling her about it. And she said, she was trying to be nice about it. She said, there's a lot of things that aren't really right with that. She said, you really should come to my church. I said, no, I'm a Catholic. Now all of a sudden I'm a Catholic, you know, like I'm defending the Catholic faith, you know. You know, I wasn't even going to church. But anyway, you know, that tradition just kicked in. So you know, she was trying to be sweet about it. She knew she couldn't say too much about it. But she said enough to make me pray one day. And I remember I went to go turn it on, and I had a little, just thinking of what she said. She said, you got to watch what you're watching there. There's a lot of things that aren't right. So I stopped. I said, Lord, Elena said this, that, and the next thing about this. I said, if it's not right, I ask you to show me. Because I just want what's right. So I ask you to show me.
If there's anything wrong with this, you show me that. So I turned it on, and the Catholic and priests said everything that was heresy and everything that was completely, I mean, it was just complete error. It was completely wrong. And I saw it all. It was like, they didn't say anything right. And meanwhile, I was feeding on this every day. I was learning every day. I asked God, I prayed that simple prayer, and then I remember the nun talking about pray to Jesus, but we also pray to his mother because she's the mother of God. And she just, and I said, now wait a second, you just contradicted yourself. I remember saying that. I said, you contradicted yourself. And it was like my eyes were open, I couldn't watch it anymore. So I went on to bigger and better things. Then I started going to that church, see? Thank God. But then I was listening to some radio broadcast that was teaching the Bible. And, man, I would love getting home, man. I'd try to get home from work in time. So I'd just get everything out of the way, sit down, take out my Bible, a notepad, and just listen to this Bible answer man, gentleman. You know, I don't know who he was. But I just thought, you know, this is great. So I'm listening. I even called in one night. I even asked a question. I can't remember what the question was. Something about the righteousness of God because something didn't seem right to well, it didn't. You know, I was trying to figure something out. And he got stumped. I stumped him. But then I shared it with my pastor now. You know, I said, yeah, I listened to so-and-so on the radio. He went, oh. He said, well, you know, he said, there's some things there that really aren't right. And you really have to watch, you know, what you're listening to there. I said, oh, he's good. I really get a lot. He said, I know. You know, he said a few things to me. He was trying to be kind and nice. And so I remember, you know, I went and turned the radio on that next time, and I remembered what he said, so I stopped. I said, Lord, I said, if something isn't right about this, I ask you to show me. Put my eyes to it, because I don't want to have it wrong. I want to have this right. I mean, I want to do the right thing. So I said, thank you for showing that to me. I turned it on, and the man, everything that came out of his mouth was wrong. It was error. It was full of contradictions. I mean, it was like one contradiction after the other. It was like God just took this veil off and something I could not see until I asked. And what a lesson that was to me. I mean, it was such revelation to me that you have not because you asked not. He would let me continue to watch, listen, and partake of this stuff if I don't come to him and ask him. I mean, if we don't ask, we don't receive. He said, you have not because... And that is in some of the most simplest things in life. We have to consult with God. We cannot assume things. We have to ask things. And as humans, we're kind of prone, naturally speaking, according to the flesh, to just assume a lot of things and just assert our will into a lot of things and just say, no, and just lean on our experience and what we have seen in the past, what we have learned, or what we know, and that's a sure way to get yourself in trouble. We need to come back and say, you know, it seems so clear to me that this is it, but Lord, what do you say? I mean, when you realize that you have to ask him for everything, then you slow down a lot, and you pause before you say and do things, and you check with him. And if you check with him, he will show you. He will show you. But, you know, the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 2, say, well, how do I know? How do I know what's right and what's wrong? Ask. You know, you'd think you wouldn't have to say that to folks, you know. Have you asked God? I mean, some of the most simplest things, you know, to me, and you'd think they would just know to ask God about stuff, and here they are, they're struggling, they're going through something, it's like they're going through a trial, a test, they've been in this thing now for a while, and I mean, it's just been going on, and you almost kind of don't even want to ask, because it seems like such a stupid question, but I've learned to ask. And I'll say, now, did you take authority over the devil? Did you ask God about it? Did you ask God about the situation? And a lot of times, like, you know, I really haven't. And I'm not talking about heathens. I'm talking about Christians trained under my training. I haven't really asked. Did you take authority over the devil? I mean, you can see it's the devil. No, I haven't done that. That'd be the first thing I would have done, man. I would have called on Jesus and I would have taken my authority over the devil. A lot of times, you know, people just, they don't, I'd rather just kind of flowing with something and just assuming a lot of things and not really being, not humbly asking God. Because it takes humility to ask. And a lot of times we just assume things. And people are just pressing through. I'm pressing through. Have you asked? Have you asked what you're supposed to do? Maybe you're not supposed to be pressing through. Maybe you're supposed to leave. Maybe you're supposed to do this. Maybe you're supposed to do that. Or maybe they left. It's like, did you ask? Well, no, I just know I had to get out of there. Maybe you should have asked. Would have been a good thing. But 1 John chapter 2, he says, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, thank God, we know all things. Like the Lord said to me one time, he said, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. So we know whatever we need to know, when we need to know it. Why? Because we have an anointing of the Holy One who causes us to know what we need to know, when we need to know it. But here in its context, it's specifically talking about, and not limited to, but specifically talking about false brethren, false teachers, people that were a part of the church, but then they went out and they didn't continue. And now they're doing some other thing out here. And he's letting you know you have an anointing of the Holy One. And you can discern, you can recognize this. You don't have to be deceived. Again, if you ask, if you lean on that anointing, if you are looking to him for guidance. He says in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And again, in its context, he's talking about people that denying Jesus Christ, they're deceivers, and so forth. He said, you could tell the difference. You can recognize the false from the genuine, because you have an anointing of the Holy. But to activate that anointing, you have to ask. You have to acknowledge the Spirit of God that is in you. And that's the anointing we're talking about, the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. When we went to that house church, we knew it was wrong. We knew it was wrong. I didn't know what I was watching on television was wrong until I asked. I didn't know what I was listening to on the radio was wrong until I asked. But as soon as I asked, as soon as I looked to him, the anointing on the inside revealed it to me, and I knew it. Immediately I knew it. It was as clear as could be. So a lot of times people are just listening, and they're just tuning in, and they're just taking it all in, and, well, you never know. You know, you gotta figure all these things out. No, you do know. You have an anointing. You have an anointing, and he teaches you, and he shows you what's right and what's wrong. So we don't have to be deceived. I love what Jesus said over in John's gospel. I think it's chapter 7. He says in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine or my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning doctrine, concerning teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. In other words, I speak from myself. The Bible says he who speaks from himself seeks his own desires. So if he's just, am I just speaking from myself? Is this my own thing? Am I trying to lay a snare for you? Am I trying to take you captive? How can you know? Well, if you have a heart to do the will of God, if you really, not just want to know his will, but you want to do his will. How many doers of the word do we have? You want to do the will of God. If you want to do the will of God, he says, you'll know. You'll know concerning doctrine. You'll know concerning teaching. If you want to do his will, you're going to know his will. You're going to know what's right. You're going to know what's wrong. And You have an anointing of the Holy One to be able to recognize not only doctrines that are wrong, but people that are wrong. Now, we're not going to sit there and judge the people, but we're not going to hang out with them either. We're not going to follow them either. See? So there's no excuse. God has fully equipped us. He's made us. He's not just given us light, but he's made us a light to this world. We have the light of God. We are lights to this world. We don't have to be deceived by darkness. We can be able to see it way out there before it even gets near us. Just see it as clear as could be. Don't you like that? Where you're not being deceived. But you got to ask God about everything. If you don't want to be deceived, Lord, is this okay? Is it okay we sit here and do this? Lord, is it okay if we do this? Just checking. You know, there's some things, you know, I just check. I say, now, Lord, your word says this. And so I believe what you said. I'm taking you at your word. If there's anything else I need to know, about this situation, if there's anything else you want me to do concerning this situation, I said, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm just going to go with the last thing you told me in the word. But I trust you to show me if there's something else I need to know. You know, even when it comes to like healing, you don't want to just sit there and go, by his stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. But at the same time, now, Lord, if there's anything else I need to know, now I believe that. But now if I need to go to a doctor, if I need to do this or if I need to do that, you know, Lord, you just tell, I'm willing to do it. I'll do it. I'll go have surgery right now. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. But if you don't say anything, I'm just going to go by the last thing you said, and you said that I've already been healed by your stripes. And so bless God, that's where I'm at. See, but I'm still asking, you know, because people can get very arrogant with that. Like, and I've shared with you about the guy that was diagnosed with a terminal situation. And I went over to talk with him and visit with him. His wife was there, and we talked a little bit. And I said, let me agree with you. Let me pray with you right now. He said, yeah, I appreciate that. So I started to pray for him. And as I was praying, the presence of God just started coming. You know, we were just asking God's presence to come. And then as we were doing that, all of a sudden, his wife, who's standing off to the side, she just reaches out and she goes, Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. And we thank you that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we thank you. And devil, we just rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I mean, she's just rattling all this stuff out of her mouth out of fear. And she's just quoting scripture like, God was coming in there. You know, you just sense his presence coming and it's a minister to him. And then she just starts barreling away with scriptures, you know, just firing away. And it was all scriptural. It was all the word of God. But when she was done, the presence of God was gone. And it was like, there was nothing much more to talk about. He said, hey, pray for my job, would you? I thought, I don't think I really care about your job, to tell you the truth. I think you need to get healed. And he did. Very sad. But you see, it was really an arrogant thing that was, you know, motivated by fear. It was fear and pride. And it was the word of God and just firing away the scriptures rather than just slow down. Let's actually draw near to him. Let's actually listen to him. Let's actually see, is there something we're supposed to do? Is there something he wants from us? Let's be led by the Spirit of God. I believe by his stripes we're healed. I believe we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But we're believing that and we're being led by him. We're moving with the Holy Spirit. We're looking to him. We're following the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to keep us from being deceived. And that's going to keep us out of a lot of trouble. There's a lot of people that just go around arrogantly speaking the word of God, speaking and trying to sound so spiritual. And they're not. They're not spiritual at all. And it's like if they just even just stopped and asked God and said, God, is there anything wrong with me? I mean, there's some people I don't think they even would ever pray that prayer. God, is there anything wrong? Am I missing it somewhere? Oh, no, I'm not missing it anywhere. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, okay, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But, Lord, if I'm missing it somewhere, I just thank you for just revealing that to me and showing me. And if something's not right about this situation, show me. You know, we need to approach God humbly. We need to speak his word humbly. We need to have ourselves yielded to him. We need to be in his hands as we're speaking his word, sharing the gospel with others. It needs to be done out of love, out of the love of God, and receiving God's love, not just in the flesh, because you could do all the right things and it'd be completely wrong. Completely wrong. You need to have a humble spirit about us. That's why it comes back to worship. That's why we need to get good at hitting the knees. Just getting down, worshiping God, exalting him, honoring him. Now, again, that could be a pride thing, too. You know, you can get down and worship God. Now, that could be a pride thing. I was going to actually cover that on Sunday, so I think I'm going to think about not going there right now. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Because we're going to talk about some arrogant worship possibly on Sunday. You can look forward to that. It's going to be exciting. But we need to be led by him. We have an anointing of the Holy One. Can you say amen? And we love the truth because we want to do the truth. We don't just listen to the truth to be entertained by it. And we don't gain points with God. We don't have, you know, it's not a self-righteous thing that we come to church and hear the word of God. I mean, we want the truth. And so we remind ourselves of that and we tell God that and we keep ourselves humbly in a receptive mode where he's able to teach us, he's able to lead us, and we just check with him about stuff. Never assume anything. Never assume anything. But people, they assume things and they just arrogant and press into things. And that's where you get into trouble. That's where people actually become false leaders. They become false leaders that way, and that's how a lot of people get led astray. They get led astray by false leaders because they're not asking. They're not checking with God. They're just listening to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and everything seems so right. And it's, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. And being I'm so smart, and I can figure everything out, you know, and I just look and I say, you know, you're absolutely right because you're saying this and they're saying that, and I'm weighing this thing out, and I can tell that's wrong, this is right. And, you know, it's all about your intellect and your great brilliance and how you're going to figure everything out. And so goodbye. You're headed for trouble. But if we would just ask, we could avoid so much trouble. And we can avoid being deceived by deceivers, because there's a lot of them out there. Well, people that lie in wait to deceive. And notice, they allure through the lust of the flesh. They play upon the lust of the flesh. They play upon what your flesh likes. And they're going to give you everything your flesh likes. That's a sure sign of some deception that's going on there. Some deceptive leading. Some deceptive leadership. When what we want to do is we just want to make you feel comfortable and we want to make you feel happy. And it's all about making your flesh feel good. And through making your flesh feel good, they lure people. That's what the Bible says they'll do. Paul wasn't that way. Paul was straightforward with the truth. He just spoke the truth. Spoke the truth in love. And that's why he said in Galatians 4:16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm telling you the truth. Well, it's so harsh. It's so harsh. You're just so harsh. You know, I can tell you, there was a guy who was listening to me on the radio and he called in. He said he just wanted to give me some tips. He said, I was listening to the radio. It was very good work. It was very good teaching. I enjoyed that. He said, but I just want you to know, he said, you know, you can sound a little angry. You know, you get a little loud and it sounds a little angry. And I want to encourage you not to be so angry sounding. He's going to help me. Not to be so angry sounding. He said, maybe I come visit you sometime. I said, well, you don't have to. It's okay. Really? That's okay. That's one empty chair I don't mind. Staying empty. You know. Now, oh, this church, they just, you know, if you were sweet, if you handed out some candy at the door, and if you kissed all the babies when they now we're going to kiss some babies this Sunday. We got a baby dedication. But I don't kiss them every Sunday, okay? You know, people have always kind of wanted to give me some kind of tips, you know. You know, if you just toned it down a little bit, you know, just tone it down a little bit. It's amazing. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm straightforward with the word of God. That's what Paul's saying here. And then the next verse is when he says, they zealously court you, but for no good. So they're trying to court you, and I'm being straightforward with the truth, and you're rejecting the truth because that doesn't sound nice. These people sound nice. These people sound like love. But you don't sound like love. You sound mean. So I'm going to go with the sound of love. Rather than the meanie sound. Why don't you pray? Why don't you pray before you go astray? Why don't you go ahead and ask God about that? Why don't you find out from him if that's an accurate judgment of things? Because he knows best. How many people know he knows best? We'll get it wrong all the time. But God, you know, God never gets it wrong. He never gets it wrong. So why don't we just go lean on him? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I think I shook you up enough tonight. Some food for thought tonight. I think we needed that. Can you say amen? Amen. So much deception in the world, but thank God we're going to walk in the light. I said we're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the truth. Praise God forever. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. Ooh, you're so good. So good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, remember that time I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, was I a little too harsh? Was I a little too hard? I said, it just seemed like such a bitter word. You know, it was after a Wednesday night service. It just seemed like such a bitter word. I said, should I be a little sweeter? And he spoke right back to me. He said, I've called you to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar. It's okay. Thank God. We need salt. You know, sugar's not good for you. Did you know that? It tastes great, don't it? It's so sweet. It's so sweet tasting. So nice. We need the salt. Amen. Anybody have any wounds tonight? Rub a little salt in that thing. Promote a little healing. Kill some infection. Amen. It hurts. You're a mean man. Yes. I'm trying to help you. You know, nobody does that to their doctor. You know that? Nobody ever does that to them. They do it to ministers, but they don't do it to the doctor. It's the most amazing thing. Doctor, I'm bleeding. I've got major issues. I don't know. I've got cramping. I got all this stuff going on. Doctor, I need some help right now. Hold on. I have an opening in 2 weeks. Is that the soonest? Yes. If you don't like it, go to the emergency room. All right, I'll hang on. The pastor says, I can't meet with you today. Oh, my goodness. How about tomorrow? I need help today. He's a bad pastor. He just left us here. Sorry, I'm feeling very dramatic. I just feel very dramatic tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, but they don't. They don't do it to the doctor. Bless God forever. They don't say he's a mean doctor. You go in the x-ray room and he comes in and he goes, it's not looking good. You know, you have this, that, and the next. They don't sit there and go, oh. They go, really? Really, doctor? Yes, I'm going to have to cut you open and tear things out of you. Then I'm going to pour medicine. It's probably going to take a month of pain and anguish. Okay. You think it's going to take that long? Oh, yes. Okay. He's such a good doctor. He's very professional. Pastor comes along, you know. He's like, well, that's a serious lack of faith. A lack of faith? A lack of faith. They start calling everybody up in the church that they can, you know. I'm really hurting. And when I called the pastor, he said, it's just a lack of faith. That's what he says, it's a lack of faith. He said, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. which I didn't say, but they'll tell you, they'll add to it, you know. Sad. It's so sad, but thank God. Thank God we're getting it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just thank him again. Thank you, Father. Praise God forever. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you for helping us, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.